It's time for the Sharks Morning Skate with all the latest on San Jose Sharks hockey. Here's today's host, Dan Ruzanowski.
We welcome to our Morning Skate show a very special guest, the play-by-play voice of the New York Islanders, Chris King. Kinger, it's great to have you with us, number one. Number two, this is the time of the year when everybody gets a little antsy because there's only a day to go before the trade deadline. How are things going on the East Coast?
Yeah, it's always anxious times for players, coaches, broadcasters, fans when, you know, the trade deadline is just a day away.
Well, the Islanders are in a situation now where you're in a real playoff battle. I mean, right now you're third in the wild card race. You're 4 points behind the Tampa Bay Lightning as you head into this game tonight against the Sharks. The Red Wings also with 72 points and the Flyers also with 72 points. So it's pretty obvious you're chasing three other teams. I suppose that for a couple of weeks it looked as if it was going to be third place in the division or nothing. But right now it looks like you're within striking distance of one of those positions.
Yeah, and it's interesting, as you say, Dan, right? Just 4 points back of all three teams they're chasing. And, you know, we'll see if that's still the case by the time the Islanders hit the ice tonight. Philadelphia has a 7 o'clock game in Florida against the Panthers, the best team in the National Hockey League. So that, not an easy task. Tampa's at home to Calgary at 7 o'clock. So we'll see if they stay at 72, and Detroit's idle tonight. So they will stay at 72. But not only are the Islanders just, you know, 4 points back of those three teams, but by the time the Islanders take the ice in San Jose, they'll have three games in hand on Philly, three games in hand on Tampa, and a game in hand on Detroit. So, you know, certainly great to be in the hunt, and the fact that, you know, they're playing their best hockey of the season. The Isles are winners of four straight and trying for their first five-game winning streak this evening.
What is it about the way that the Islanders are playing that it seems to have transformed since Patrick Waugh became the head coach?
Yeah, he changed a lot of things, Dan. I mean, he's big forward-wise, you know, big puck possession guy, so he felt they were, you know, were not hanging on to it long enough, and that has certainly played into the hands of guys like Matt Barzal, who, you know, loves the puck possession game. Defensively, he's wanted his defensemen to kind of leave the crease area a little bit more, not to be so chained down to that area that they call the house right in front of the net, and be a little more active in the play. And goaltending-wise, you know, he's really run Ilya Sorokin much more than, you know, Lane Lambert kind of played Ilya two of every three games and got Semyon Varlamov one of every three. But tonight, Ilya will make his sixth straight start, 11th game of the last 13. And obviously, Patrick, as a former Hall of Fame goaltender, knows about finding the hot goalie and running with it. And he's done that. And, you know, in this entire four-game winning streak, he juggled the lines completely and created a first line that really has three centers in Bo Horvat, Matt Barzal, and Brock Nelson. But they just happen to be the three guys that lead the team in goal scoring. And they've been terrific together. So literally, you know, he put these lines together 4 games ago, and these lines have gone 4-0 and outscored their opponents now in the winning streak 17-8.
Now, Patrick Waugh knows how to adjust the chemistry. There's no doubt about that. But the thing that jumps out at me, two things. One, Brock Nelson, as you mentioned, playing on the wing. We haven't really seen that. I really like him as a center iceman, but you got the helicopter line, like you talked about, three guys, all centers, no wings. And then he broke up Cizikas and Martin and Clutterbuck, too, and put Kyle MacLean in there. Tell us the reasoning behind that.
Yeah, well, you know what? That was almost had to happen, Dan, because when you're, you know, taking Brock Nelson out of that center spot, Brock Nelson was your number two center behind Bo Horvat. So everybody kind of just slid up a spot. J.G. Pageau slides up to your number two center. Casey Cizikas goes up to number three. And then Kyle MacLean, who's done a nice job, you know, coming up from Bridgeport, gets the slot in between the two veterans, Matt Martin and Cal Clutterbuck. So it's definitely a luxury to have six centers, as Patrick Waugh does. But electing to play two of them as wingers, you know, it's an interesting choice. It is, you know, Matt Barzal's been doing it for quite a while this year, but this is still the first year he's ever done that. And Brock Nelson has only done it, you know, for these 4 games that the Islanders have won. He, you know, briefly did it at college in North Dakota. He also thought he briefly did it when John Tavares with the Islanders when they first played together. But outside of that, you know, Brock had never played on the wing, and they've all been great of late.
One of the great stories that the Islanders have had, Chris, is the fact that that Noah Dobson has been one of the best point producers among defensemen in the entire National Hockey League. And we've always liked the way that Noah Dobson's played in the NHL, but this has been really quite a coming out party for him. And don't you think that he should probably be in the Norris decision even a little bit more than he's been simply because of the transformation of his game?
Absolutely, Dan. It's a great point. And I think, you know, as you point out, he's really kind of flown under the radar. I don't think if you ask people, you know, name the top three scoring defensemen in the National Hockey League, I think everybody would get one and two. with Quinn Hughes and Cale Makar, but not too many would get three. Noah Dobson, so again, 63 points, third among all defensemen, 56 assists, second among all defensemen in the National Hockey League. And the assist number in particular, there's only been one player in Islander history who's ever had more assists as a defenseman, and that's the Hall of Famer Dennis Potvin. So he's in rarefied air right now. His confidence has skyrocketed. He's done a great job quarterbacking the power play, where he's picked up the majority of those assists. And tonight's a milestone game for him. He's playing his 300th game in the National Hockey League, all with the New York Islanders. So, you know, everyone on the Islander side of things now watching that chase. Can he really knock Dennis Potvin out of the record books? Dennis's best season was 70 assists, and Noah's on a pace right now for 75. So if he continues to do what he's done, it's hard to believe that you'll say he would, you know, put Dennis Potvin behind him all time for, you know, assists by an Islander defenseman in a single season.
Tell us about that tradition that still lives on with the Islander fan base. I know that now that you have a new home, a couple of years old now, over at Belmont Park, that's sort of solidified things with the fan base. But all in all, just talk about how that transition to that building has carried the tradition on.
Yeah, it really has, Dan. And that was the goal of the ownership. You know, everybody loved, you know, the parts about Nassau Veterans Memorial Coliseum that they loved. Everybody loved those things. But there certainly were things that, you know, needed an upgrade when a building, you know, that had opened in 1972 was still the home of the New York Islanders. So kudos to the ownership and the management of the New York Islanders. They went to every single NHL arena. They went to almost every NBA arena, MLB stadium, NFL stadium, just to try to find out, hey, what works best, what doesn't work. They also polled the fans to say, tell us what you loved about the Coliseum, what you wanted in the new building, tell us what you didn't like. So it's kind of, you know, the best of both worlds in that you still have that intimacy, if you will, of the Coliseum. It's got the largest lower bowl of any arena in North America, so the fans still feel close to the ice. And it's incredibly loud. They kept the ceiling just 9 feet higher than what it was at the Coliseum to keep the noise in. And it's just a beautiful arena. And, you know, to their credit, they got awarded the 2026 All-Star Game, which is the next All-Star Game that's going to be played as far as the National Hockey League is concerned. So that was announced when they had their outdoor game over in New Jersey against the Rangers. So, you know, just to be in year three of this new building and already know you've got the All-Star Game coming soon, it's been a tremendous transition for the Islanders. And again, the home ice advantage has come around too, kind of the way it was at Nassau Coliseum when that was known as Fort Neverlose, when the Islanders were, you know, winning the four straight cups back in the early 80s, the dynasty.
One thing that's definitely happened is the Islanders have a good home ice advantage. They always say, you know, split the games on the road and try to win at home. And yeah, you don't have the best home record in the league, but you're 15-8-9. And on the road, you've split your games this season. In a sense, that's a recipe for a playoff team.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, the home ice has come around of late. It really struggled, you know, when Lane Lambert was relieved of his duties. They were really in the midst of a huge slump at home. One of those home losses you talk about was the outdoor game that was technically a home game for the Islanders over at MetLife Stadium, which was, you know, an incredible atmosphere, 80,000 Islander Ranger fans, but that was an Islander home game. So, you know, under Patrick Roy, it's come around again to be more of a home ice advantage. They're selling out nearly every night now at home. So I think with, you know, just 21 games remaining, including tonight, you'll see that sellout push, you know, all the way to the finish and hopefully, you know, get back to the playoffs like they did a year ago in just their second season in the new home.
Well, there's something to prove to each other tonight because you may remember the game in December, Chris. The Islanders had the big lead 4-1, and the Sharks came back with a couple of extra skater goals and got William Eklund to win it in overtime. But the Sharks just had a game like that in the opposite direction against Dallas. They had a big lead, 6-3, and ended up blowing that lead. So I guess both teams know what it feels like. But what are your thoughts about tonight?
I was trying to forget that game, Dan, the one you talked about on the island. But no, that, hey, all the kudos to the Sharks. You talked about it. I mean, when you pull your goalie twice in the final 3.5 minutes and score both times, Tomas Hertl, you know, completing his hat trick, tying the game, and then William Eklund winning it in overtime. Believe me, it's a game the Islanders remember, and they're going to want a little payback, and they certainly know what happened Tuesday night when, you know, the Sharks had that big lead over Dallas and the opposite happened.
Well, it's going to be an exciting game tonight, and Kinger, thanks a lot for joining us on the Morning Skate Show today.
Always great talking to you, Dan. And again, congratulations on your Hall of Fame announcement this year. I was so thrilled for you.
Appreciate that very much.
You've been listening to the Sharks Morning Skate. Make sure you're listening all season long to the latest Sharks news and information right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.